Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Yes, we're in the midst of a fascinating conversation with clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley, our human condition guru, on how relationships function, even to the way our brains physically work differently depending on who we're relating to. It's the neuroplasticity of the brain. See, I listen, Lynn. For instance, how a young baby is geared up to evoke connections with its mother. Lynn, welcome again. This is an amazing arena. I love this.
Thanks for having me, Lee.
Great.
Yes, Lee, last week we had a bit of an anatomy lesson of the brain about how the pathways for thought and behaviour are paved through interactions throughout life. And we also talked briefly about how a baby seeks to find safety from the mother or caregiver and picks up signals from her to know how to react. And it's also a response from the carer, where the studies show that the carers, mostly mothers, of course, in the studies, also develop new pathways in the brain in response to the infant's cues. So it becomes a two-way process.
Yes.
So, but this week I'd like to go into the interaction between the child and the parent in a little bit more depth. And I'd like to link this to how we attach later on in life.
So we're going to kind of travel beyond the little baby thing to the whole of life span, I suppose.
Yes, yes. Okay. And while it may not seem to be such a new thing for most people, and it might seem like it's a bit of old news revamped again, like Freud came up with this sort of stuff, what is incredible about this work is that we're now able to actually show that the brainwave patterns and the cognitive development with such scientific preciseness that it's wonderful.
It's amazing.
So it's actually really exciting.
Yeah.
So now we have evidence for what we've been talking about in psychology for a while.
So Freud was right, but we're now able to kind of measure it and actually see it tangibly.
Yes, I think he was right in a lot of things, but not some things.
Okay, I'll take that on notice.
So let's start. Now, over the last month, I've been observing short film clips of babies with their caregivers. I've been watching for cues from babies to tell mum when she's too close or when she's too attentive, or when she's not attentive and when she's a bit scary or so on. And I've been watching for cues from the babies that let mum know when they're comfortable. So some of the cues that the babies find, babies do is when they're finding the interaction a little bit difficult, they're things like they thrust their tongue forward.
Yes.
Okay, they might be sick just suddenly, or looking away and they might avoid mum's eyes, or they start to breathe rapidly. Another one is that they hold their little arms stiff and they cry and push their arms backwards. Now, some of the cues that the babies are comfortable are that they seek the mum or the caregiver's eyes. They focus on an object for a long time. They take turns, like they goo and they gar, and they wait for mum to do the same back.
Yeah.
And they initiate mum or dad's gestures, or they imitate them. Now, some of the cues that a baby is being careful with their caregiver, and that there might an indication that they might have experienced some trauma, is that you see a baby actually put on a false smile. And they stiffen parts of their body, like just one arm or one leg, or they have their body quite rigid when it's been held. Or they might actually hold a very fixed expression, which you won't see unless you're looking for it. And if you carefully, if you watch these babies who have been traumatized, they will watch their caregiver with absolute vigilance and respond to the caregiver to make the caregiver happy.
What age are you talking about?
Oh, as young as 6 weeks old.
It's amazing. I mean, you see actors who are practiced in that kind of art of conveying such tiny nuances with their face, but this is so early.
This is so early.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yes, it's what's actually interesting is that it's a pattern which becomes, a pattern of dominance of certain behaviours that become evident if a baby is actually exhibiting some sort of traumatic response. Now, this seems like pretty normal reactions for babies, all of those lists that I just gave you.
Yeah.
But when we look, what we're actually looking for is a dominant pattern. Now, the key is synchronicity. What we're after here is looking for the research where that says that that good parents have strong connections with their babies. They actually have synchronicity with their babies.
Okay.
But what they actually say is that if you've got a good parent with good synchronicity, it's only happening 30% of the time.
Yeah.
And the 30% is connected and strong. So the remaining 70% is we basically miss the cues, and the baby's sort of crying out and we're missing it and we're on the phone or we're distracted or whatever. But what is important is that the actual 30% is what establishes the baby's interactional style for the future.
That's enough.
Yes. Now, if you think of a spectrum, again, I always talk about spectrums, yep, but we'll think of it again. And at one end of the spectrum, you've got the parent who's really quiet and shy and withdrawn and passive with not a lot of expression on their face. And the other end is the parent who's loud and demands a lot of attention, takes control of everything around them. Somewhere in the middle is regarded as normal or secure attachment. While it sounds a little bit like personality styles, it's also the interactional styles that begin in infancy.
Wow.
Now, these interactional styles actually establish what sort of personality and how you will be as an adult in your attachments.
Blows my mind.
Yes. Yeah. Now, if the quiet and passive mum is looking for her baby, now it sounds like I'm picking on mum here, but the research is really focused on mum, so we can only sort of move into that sort of arena.
Okay.
So if a quiet and passive mum's looking after her baby, and the baby will need to gather mum's attention, get her to be in sync. Now, the baby will either fuss a lot, cry, or become difficult, which will make her pay attention and become a little bit more interesting. And if it doesn't work, however, the baby will also become passive because they just withdraw as well. They imitate or they mimic the behaviour. And these babies become floppy. They don't seek to stimulate, or they might have no stimulation. But they then may self-soothe to try and keep themselves occupied. So as older adults, these babies grow up to be excessive eaters, drinkers, smokers, and some have quite a lot of sexual difficulties.
The intentionality of it does just blow my mind.
Yes.
So early.
Yes. Now, this end of the spectrum is where we have a higher chance of this child being missed because they seem really good. They're quiet.
Oh, yes.
And so they miss their developmental milestones. They become good little children. They always fly under the radar. But they never reach out for help when they need it, and they often become quite detached from the world. Now, as adults, they'll have difficulties with initiating affection, perhaps. They might prefer to withdraw from people, and often they develop anxieties and depressive episodes. These ones often assume that people aren't interested in them, and so they fail to put themselves forward, and they seek out good relationships. They might become compliant with poor relationships, and they're likely to be abused or taken advantage of. In essence, they develop their brains to be less connected, and therefore they find real connections very difficult.
Wow.
So sometimes the good little child isn't really good.
Yeah.
So they're just compliant and helpless, and it comes to getting somebody to be in sync with them.
It's amazing stuff. So that's with the quiet, shy and withdrawn kind of parent. What about the other end of the spectrum where the parent's loud and controlling?
Mm-hmm.
What about that?
I've had a bit more experience with that. Excuse me.
Speaking personally. So have I, by the way, I'd add.
At the other end of that spectrum is the extremely controlling parent who has an interactional style that they see the baby as a toy or a dolly. And
wow,
the baby becomes an object for their benefit. So the baby experiences being intruded on, and they're being pushed around or played at rather than with. And these babies exhibit very difficult behaviour, and they may not look at mum because they just find her a little bit overwhelming. And they push her away and they go stiff in their arms and they cry a lot. Now, the mum might find it quite rejecting and confronting if that's the case. And if she's at the very end, the extreme, she might find that that's offensive, and she'll get offended.
Yeah.
And so it's quite out of sync, and sometimes those parents will exhibit some sort of anger towards the baby. And if that has angry outbursts are frequent and the baby doesn't feel safe, the baby then learns to comply and be very, very careful and vigilant, watching mum and smiling when she wants to keep to be placated, or they might become even more difficult, which makes their chances of being heard increase.
So how's that going to play out in later life?
Now, as adults, their behaviours look like children who may be acting out a lot to gain attention. This is your pay attention to me adult, because being loud's the only way of being noticed. And they learn to manipulate others, and they might read them very well so they can get what they want. Now, this extreme can develop some personality disorders, similar to the what we talked about last year when we went through the series of dealing with difficult people.
Memorable series. So they're the two extremes of the spectrum, and it's pretty kind of heavy stuff, especially with the consequences later in life. And given that none of us are perfect, is there any hope, oh great guru?
Now, don't lose heart.
Yeah.
Because the good news is that every interaction we have actually develops new pathways in the brain throughout our lives. So this is the new stuff. That's why we work on resilience. It's just so important.
Yes.
I mean, if you remember the resilience donut, it shows us we've got seven different areas where we can develop a resilient mindset. And these are not just parent relationships. They're also learning a skill, family members, teachers, friends, community groups, and serving others. So what we know so far is that the presence of just three areas where there is positive and connected relationships, the new pathways in the brain become formed to have more secure attachment.
Mm.
So the news is good and bad. None of us are perfect, but if we seek out our mates and plan to have children, we can examine our attachment style and we can start doing some purposeful connections.
Yeah. Just briefly, you say that this can and does relate to the Christian faith.
Yes, yes. I really like that Christianity is a relationship with a living God, but firstly, that means that we've got a relationship with someone who is perfect, so we've got a great healing place.
Yes.
Secondly, there are others who are also going through the same healing place, so connecting with others in our churches and our groups is really important, a place to practice being different and secure. And thirdly, the Bible tells us to put on Christ. Like put on. That means we imagine how Christ would relate and we'll put on that behaviour, a bit like fake it till you make it.
Yes.
But it means that we try to be like Christ and then after a while we practice that and we become more natural at it. And that then develops new pathways in our brains.
Wonderful stuff. So just quickly, next week, the neuroplasticity of the brain and the development of attachment. What's that?
Yes. Well, what we're going to be talking about next week is looking at couples. So when we attach as a child, we then also have to cope with how we attach to somebody else who's got a different attachment style.
Absolutely fascinating stuff. Lynn Worsley, thanks so much. Very much look forward to next week on
Thank
Our
you.
Human Condition.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.